And such are the treasure troves of evidence of the risen Lord Jesus. And of course, we don't want to lose any of the evidence. We don't want to happen what has happened in the Willie Picton case. And can you understand how the police could lose the majority of the files on the case? And now they're reduced to a limited number of items of evidence. Well, when it comes to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the evidence stands. It remains. And it's not going anywhere.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. We have our message today on the women at the tomb. We're asking the question, why the women? Why did the Lord make himself known first to the ladies and not to his own 12 disciples? Surely there must be something in this. Well, in our investigation of these questions and the issues relating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, we want to turn to the narrative. And so we're going to look here at the Bible reading itself. Follow along with us in the Word of God as we read on the story of the resurrection.
We'll read right from verse 1 through to the end, Lord willing. Mark 16 and verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they led him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked, and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. May the Lord bless this wonderful chapter of His Word to every heart tonight. And we pray that last little detail will be our experience, the Lord working with them and confirming the Word. Luke chapter 24 is our passage we read, and we're returning to that as we come to our message here today. We're going to look at these two men on the road to Emmaus. And what a story, what an amazing story this is. Now, we've been reciting together Acts 1:3, which is about the infallible proofs of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. This account of the Lord appearing to these two men and making Himself known to them is one of the infallible proofs. And we're interested in it. Well, it's one of the first parts after the resurrection. It's one of the most detailed. There are a number of other tremendous proofs, but we don't get a whole lot of information. But here we get two men talking to one another. We have the Lord coming alongside. He asks them deliberate questions in His first anonymity. And then He begins to preach to them. And they get the whole account from the Bible. And then He said, oh, this is about Me. This is a tremendous, tremendous account. Let's unite in prayer firstly, and we'll ask the Lord to come and help us. Father, we pray that You will draw near and help us in Your Word today. Lord, our hearts are full as we've been thinking of the crucifixion and the resurrection, and that our Lord Jesus is alive. Lord, this is an everyday reason to rejoice. And every Sunday, every day we worship is a time when we, like these men, they worshiped Him. Lord, we know today You're risen. We know You're at the Father's right hand. We know You're coming again. But, oh Lord, let us live in the light of that mighty triumph of our living, risen Lord Jesus. Oh, hear us. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's been a week since we were preaching on the resurrection, and I'm wondering, has it worn off? The wonderful thing about the resurrection is that the facts never grow old. They never grow stale. And of course, normally, from Easter to Easter, we rehearse and preach and set forth many of the same things. But there really were so many things that took place in the 50 days between the resurrection and Pentecost that it's no way that you could preach on these in a short week or two at this season of the year. And if we do so, we're in danger of losing so much. It would be like going into a museum and you just look at one little display. And when you look at that display, then you walk out the door and people ask, did you see all of these items? No, I didn't see all that, but I saw one thing. And if we only pick up one thing about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, well, we have the truth, but we don't have all of these infallible proofs that Luke referred to in chapter 1, verse 3. Now, these events, these appearances of the Lord Jesus for 40 days, 40 nights, from the resurrection until His ascension, and then, you know, there was that 10-day prayer meeting when they were waiting on the Holy Spirit to come on the day of Pentecost, a total of 50 days, but 40 days of appearances. And you have a number of summaries. You have Paul's summary in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and he denotes some of these events, how He appeared to the women, to Peter, to the apostles, and to 500 at one time. Then you have in Acts 1, we didn't read all of the verses there, but Luke, the doctor, he set out to write to his friend Theophilus that he would rehearse in detail many of these accounts. And in many ways, you could say the whole book of Acts is about the gospel of the risen Christ. And the word resurrection, it seems to come up over and over and over again, that the essence of the ministry of the early church was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Then when you read John's account, at the end of chapter 20, he says, there's so much here, I couldn't write on it. There's not enough books in the world to give all the details of what took place. And such are the treasure troves of evidence of the risen Lord Jesus. And of course, we don't want to lose any of the evidence. We don't want to happen what has happened in the Willie Picton case. And can you understand how the police could lose the majority of the files on the case? And now they're reduced to a limited number of items of evidence. Well, when it comes to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the evidence stands. It remains. And it's not going anywhere unless it may be increasing. Now, we're going to start with these two men on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24. And the reason, of course, is it's so detailed. And there are details here that will thrill our hearts. There are more verses given to this account of the Lord's appearance than any other. And of course, it's Dr. Luke again, the man of detail. You can see the medical doctor coming through. The man who picks up the little details that can fill in the big picture. And that's what he's doing right here. Now, he tells the story of these two men on the road to Emmaus. Emmaus, we're told, is 60 furlongs away from Jerusalem. Now, a furlong is about a city block in Surrey. 8 furlongs to the mile, so it's about 7.5 miles on this road to the village of Emmaus. And it's there that they're in conversation, and of course they don't have any answers. They're absolutely bamboozled. They have no idea what's going on. It's the third day. There's no resurrection. The Lord is not around. And they are absolutely confused. But these men, walking along, we're told, were sad. Sad. But there's one who came into their midst to make them glad. I hope that's your experience this morning. Well, I'm not hoping you're sad, of course, but if you have come with a burdened heart, if you have come with a heavy heart, and perhaps you are just need of that little word from the Lord to help you, to minister to your soul, that the Lord himself, just as he did in the road to Emmaus, will come and sit beside you today and minister to your very heart. Now, these men become great witnesses to the living Lord Jesus. And at the end of the story, they go running to the disciples and they begin to tell their story. They have seen the Lord in the breaking of bread. And what a story they had to tell. But the first thing I note about their power as witnesses is their blindness. Their blindness. As they were walking along, it tells us their eyes were holden. Now, that seems to be a strange business, holding back people's eyes. Now, it's not their physical eyesight. They could see the road, they could see things around them, but when it came to spiritual things, things about the Lord, they did not have the ability to work things out. Now, if you go back to verse 11 in Luke 24, you'll notice that they couldn't figure out what the women were trying to tell them. The women who had been to the tomb, had witnessed the resurrection or the empty tomb and the empty grave, you'll notice verse 11, their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And then along the roadway, as they were talking to the Lord, they rehearsed this in verse 24. They said to the Lord, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the woman had said. But him they saw not. Now, as they went along, if you go back to verse 15, it tells us they reasoned. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned. And here is human reasoning. They tried to add it all up, but they couldn't come to an answer. And they were talking about the cross, the crucifixion. They were talking about the tomb where they had laid his body. They were talking about the empty tomb reported by these women. And it seemed as idle tales to them. And it was all negative, all negative. Now, the point is this. If these men were fabricators, if they were concocting a positive story, going along with what had always been the teaching of the Lord Jesus, I'm going to die, I'm going to suffer on a cross, I'm going to rise again the third day. And if they were going along with just the mere historic predictions that the Lord gave them and fabricate the evidence, well, they wouldn't be good witnesses. But the fact that these men wanted the truth, they wanted to know. They were hungry for the answers, but they were by no means convinced at this point, and so they remained without answers. But because of that, they were certainly not fabricating things. They were looking at things as they were. Now, their eyes were holden. That means they were fixated on their troubles. They were burdened with the issues that were around them, and they couldn't think it through. Has it been true in your life that you have been burdened and filled with care, and you've gone to the Bible, and every page just seemed blank? Every statement just seems to have no personal application to your heart, and there's no word there for you. It's as if you're understanding, your eyes are holden, you can't get any answers. You'll see too that they had honest talk. Now the Lord was in the best position to discover the honesty of their conversation, because he came along at first as an apparent stranger, one who was not even privy to anything that was going on. And he began to ask them, what's wrong with you fellows that you're so sad? And they began to rehearse all that had taken place right from verse 19. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth. And so here is the Lord in his anonymity. He has not yet declared who he is. And he's listening into these conversations, and in fact he's teasing them with questions, and they begin to rehearse about him, Jesus of Nazareth. Well, that's accurate, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and in word before God and all the people, and all of that's accurate, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. All of that adds up. All of those are accurate details. And the Lord could only say, that's true. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things have come about. You'll notice that the empty tomb, the empty graves, the third day story, they always obviously were clued in to the third day the Lord had promised he would rise again, that they were not convinced unless they saw the Lord. Circumstantial evidence did not satisfy these two men. They wanted to see the Lord Jesus in his risen state. And so at this point, well, they thought it was all over. And they were walking away from Jerusalem, saddened, thinking that all of this now was just a dream and it would be gone. Now for us, of course, circumstantial evidence is not enough. The fact that the tomb was empty, the fact that the grave clothes were lying there, vacated of its body, we need to experience the living Lord Jesus in our own hearts, in our own lives. And if we are going to be living witnesses for the Savior, we need to see the Lord. And we need the eyes of our understanding opened up. And of course, that's the great miracle of conversion. And when you're born again of the Spirit and saved by grace, the eyes of the understanding are opened. And we see the Lord. And then we become living witnesses of Him. And it was due to the blindness of these men that we have to say that these men were true witnesses. They were not fabricating. They were not making up a story, because they didn't have answers until the Lord revealed Himself. And that is the power of their witness. Now, along the way, as the Lord was ministering to them, He gave them Bible lessons. And what wonderful Bible lessons they were. When they rehearsed the whole account and said, "We thought that this would be the one who would redeem Israel and save us and rise the third day. When we thought all these things would happen," then the Lord Jesus steps in and He begins to explain to them right from the Bible. And now we have not only the facts, the evidence, but we have the Scriptures being explained, interpreted, put into place by the great teacher Himself, the Lord Jesus. We begin here at verse 25. "And He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?" You'll see how the Lord puts His stamp upon these scriptures, upon the prophecies, and He pointed out that the gospel of the risen Christ is an extension or a fulfillment of the very religion of the Old Testament prophets. The resurrection Christ is not a new religion, but it is the fulfillment of the very Bible, the Old Testament, Christianity itself. So it's not a foreign religion, but it is the natural outflow of all these fulfilled prophecies. And the Lord had to teach these men that very point. And then in verse 27, He taught them that all Scripture is about Himself, Christ. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Can you imagine the nature and outworking of this? When He mentions Moses, of course, He means Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the five books of the Pentateuch. All the details in there are about Me. That's what He's saying. When you learn about Abraham and that account with Isaac, his son, you're learning about Me. When you read about Moses and how he delivered Pharaoh or the Israelites out of Pharaoh and out of Egypt into Israel, you're learning about My work, My redemption. The Lord Jesus did exactly what Philip did when He went alongside the Ethiopian and sat down beside him. And there was that Ethiopian sitting in the chariot reading the Old Testament, Isaiah 53. And Philip said to him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And then I said, "How can I? Someone needs to help me." And Philip began to preach to him Jesus. And here's the Lord Jesus now with these two men on the road to Emmaus, and He begins to expound, to explain, to illustrate, and to make things known. Now, this has to be one of the sweetest ministries of the Lord Jesus. when he comes to the human heart, when he comes to your heart, my heart, and he begins to make the Bible plain and clear, and when he explains all of these wonderful truths. And we need to realize today the Bible is about the Lord Jesus. If you are reading your Bible to learn merely historical facts, you've missed the message. If you're reading your Bible merely as a point of debate, you've missed the message. It's about the Lord Jesus. And of course, God sent his Son to be our Savior. And we need to know him. And we need to hear his voice.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gollaher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., and also our half-hour church service on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on this station. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speak.